Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio today, as always, by Randy Engston.
Good day, fella.
And we have a special guest today, Dan Waymura.
There it is, you did it.
The CEO and founder of Push Press, all the way in from Vegas, baby. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's going to be a fun one.
Yep, it's going to be great. He's in town for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He's about to have his mind blown by the chaos and the party, which is only 1 mile from here, by the way. 1 mile away.
All right.
We can jog over there.
Oh, jogging. First time.
Jogging. Yeah. We get Vibram Five Fingers on. We'll go jogging barefoot.
Then we won't feel guilty for whatever happens there, right? Like we did the exercise first.
Yes. Yes. So, hey, so Dan, thanks for joining us today. We've been kind of going back and forth on, I think we have a mutual friend, Scott Carpenter, who was kind of in the middle of it, but I just reached out to you because I saw you like one of my things or whatever. So Push Press is a tell us about Push Press and then kind of give us how you got to this point today.
Yeah. So,
all right, time's up. That's it.
So there it is. Push Press.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I opened a gym in 2010, and I came from the software industry. I was an engineer, nice. Kind of got burned out sitting at a desk typing. And the first thing I did was wanted to use software for the gym, kind of looked around what was available. Wasn't really pleased with what I saw, decided to kind of build my own. And I mean, that's kind of the genesis of it. Like we built it out of the gym. We started like just organically being in the gym community. I joined a bunch of Facebook groups, whatnot, helped people with their tech. And then, you know, people started asking me like, what are you using for your software? It looks different. Oh, I just built my own. They wanted to use it. Nice. And you understand the software game. You built some stuff here. It's like people just organically are kind of like, hey, what is that? I want to use it.
Exactly.
And then it just kind of, you're like, oh, well, let's let other people use it then. And
that's so where did you have a game plan of creating the big company out of it, or was it just to solve your own problem?
Day zero, it was to solve my own problem. Yeah. Pretty quickly, I was like, okay, there's obviously an opportunity here. Mm-hmm. And so when I opened my second gym, I'm like, we're going to build the whole thing around eating our own dog food on this software.
Nice.
And then figuring out like what customers of gyms, like how the customers work, everything works, and then built it into the system from there.
So what would you say like is the one thing that Push Press does the best? Like we kick ass in this by doing, you know, any gym that works with us, they get this and that's why they stay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that we really focus on being the best at. In the end, it's absolutely going to be the product. Like the product we're building is going to be light years ahead of what's being built. We can dive into that if you want, but there's so much opportunity in the software space for gyms.
Sure.
But being a gym owner myself and being on the other end of the coin, to me, like I told our team from day employee one, it's all about customer service, right? So it's like if you have a problem and someone messages in, I don't want someone waiting 2 days to get a reply.
That's clutch because I know the ones that we used are still using. Yeah. There's nobody answering the phone.
Yeah. And so we've hired gym owners out of the Push Press client family.
Okay.
To come in who are customer obsessed. And it's like, I tell them like every year, it's like we trim it down maximum 10 minutes. No one can wait more than 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 5 minutes. Right now we're at 5 minutes. So it's like,
nice.
You know, can they answer everybody under 5 minutes? No, but it's like, that's the gold standard. Like if someone messages in, they should get a thoughtful response from someone who understands the software, understands the gym industry and talks the language you talk within 5 minutes.
Talks the language you talk is huge. Because, yeah, you said you hired some people from their own gyms to be on the team.
Our whole front-end team, sales team, customer support team, onboarding team, everyone who's on the onboarding team is at the least a coach in a gym.
Yeah.
But most of them have owned a gym or own a gym right now.
So the point is they all lift. Did you see that meme? Did you see that meme? This is great. We're going off topic already. This is going to be a good one. There was this dog shaking his head like this. And then on the side was this boss was yelling it. He says, I'm not legally obligated to listen to my CEO because he doesn't lift. You're not legally obligated. So it's illegal.
I'm going to find that meme and make sure people, because I lift.
I have it. So great. So, I mean, being in the fitness industry for 15 years now, you know, we've kind of dabbled in ABC Financial, ASF, Mind Body, you know, even Wellness Living kind of is around a little bit. Can't say that I know much about push press, almost because like I'm not in CrossFit, right? Even your name push press, very appealing to, you know, the CrossFit community, which, hey man, pick a niche and run hard in that.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean your software couldn't work for us. I just never even looked at it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, semi-private training is really where we live. And a lot of the gyms that we work with are either already there or switching that way. That's what we see is the, you know, the hybrid, I guess, successful, most successful potential gym. What are you seeing on your end? Like, you have probably some semi-private gyms over there. You got definitely have CrossFit over there, class-based stuff. Do you see a trend of a style of gym that's starting to pop up more and more?
Yeah. So, I mean, in general, push press is super customer obsessed. We listen to our customers. We want to build in the direction the customer's going. And I'll tell you right now, everything our product team is focused on is on hybrid. Because even in the CrossFit space, it's everyone's starting to figure out like personal attention, individual design, you know, like getting customer success in a outside of a group setting is where the value is. Right?
Let's define hybrid. What does that mean?
Hybrid would be in the CrossFit world, the way they're building hybrid is group classes is probably the selling point, but you also get 4 PT sessions with it.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's not exactly what you guys are doing here, where it's a semi-private. Like watching your model, I love what you guys are doing. I think it's super smart. But CrossFit is inching that way, where it's like you have a monthly unlimited membership and 4 PTs for a set price.
Okay. Right? So they're layering private training. Yeah. What they're doing one-on-one in like 30-minute or 60.
Generally 60. Probably.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So even CrossFit's moving into more hands-on, I guess, custom. Individualized programming.
Yeah.
Which is good. Which is great.
I think, looking at the market, that's been the one big missing link in that side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You throw in people in with these complex movements and like, I mean, it's easy for somebody that doesn't run a CrossFit to talk trash about it, but like, I'm sure there's some amazing, breakthroughs that happen with clients in that model. Absolutely. There wouldn't be so many of them, right? They've been around for freaking ever. So, all right, off of that, on to data, because that's where I'm really excited to talk to Dan about, because you have a insight to large amount of data. Mm-hmm. We're talking churn numbers and revenue and revenue per member, how many signups, maybe even lead flow. I don't know if your system takes in lead flow, conversion rates. You probably have all that data.
We do. In fact, it's the problem with data is there's so much of it, you have to be really careful and really well-defined when you approach it. And to be completely honest, like I'm calling 2024 our year of data. We've been around for 11 years.
Sure.
And this is the first year we've kind of earned the ability to, like I've hired a head of data. We have data scientists now working on the team. And it's like, you would think it's so easy to just figure out the data, but definitions matter, like how you cohort people matter. There's so many really complex things where like sometimes I see data thrown around and I'm like, I don't feel like that has been really vetted.
I know what you mean. But
So anyways, all that to say, data is a very difficult thing and a very expensive thing, honestly, to solve. And this is the year am I allowed to swear on this?
Absolutely.
I figure this is a gym fucking podcast. So I'm so fucking excited because this year is like by the mid to the end of the year, like all the data is gonna be flowing.
Nice.
Like we're instrumenting it now. We're defining the data and we will have a much better and clear picture that we can tell people. And I'm saying that because like anything you ask me right now, I'm not gonna be able to tell you precisely. Lead flow is this, funnel looks like this, blah, blah, blah.
And plus, I kind of sprung it on you.
Yeah.
So you didn't really bring a lot of data, but I know that you have some of this memorized, at least some anecdotal stuff, which I definitely want to get into because, you know, like even your anecdotal stuff is going to be very relevant too. So, so when you say we've hired a data scientist and we're going to have really clear data, is that data globally or is it for your own push press team or is that like the individual gym's going to know exactly every client's lifetime?
So it's all going to go in that direction. So eventually like a gym should be able to know what I'm doing, what my trends have been, how I stack rank against the best people in the industry, people who are
cool. That's huge. That's right. Okay.
So you should be able to say like, hey, I'm a semi-private gym in the Scottsdale area. I want to compare myself against other semi-private gyms or other gyms in a metro of a million people or, you know what I mean? Like you should be able to, you don't want to compare yourself against a New York studio. It doesn't make sense, right? So yeah, like being able to slice data, cohort things, look at things from different angles, like all of that stuff is coming.
I think if you're going that direction, it's going to be really a big hit because gym owners are very competitive.
Oh, God.
So like if you had a ranking of being able to like globally say, hey, this is the highest producing gym in our network or whatever.
Yep.
Hey, are you a gym owner whose business is in full swing, pulling in at least steady 30K or more per month, and now you're ready to ask yourself, what is next? Well, the Iron Circle is ready to show you that path forward. As a part of our exclusive community, you'll be surrounded by like-minded, success-driven gym owners just like you who are taking their businesses to the next level. Visit our website, ironcircle.net, to apply to be a part of the next Iron Circle group and let us turn your successful gym into a thriving fitness legacy. All right, let's get back to the show.
So my thesis here is, gym owners are so fucking competitive
yes.
that we can just say like, you are a silver level gym.
Yep.
If you want to become gold, here's the levels you have to hit. Here's the minimum standard to be gold. And this whole industry is going to just go straight up. Because once you tell them what they have to do and how to get there, they'll just do it.
There you
but
go.
Everyone right now doesn't know what a gold standard means. You know what I mean?
That alone may be as instrumental as any other thing, because then they'll find solutions to their problems. Yeah. Like, hey, we can't seem to, you know, get above this number of members or our churn just keeping us from getting there. How do I fix it? Let me go find a coach to help me with that.
Like right now it's like, I don't know, pick a number, a 225 bench press is like something people shoot for, and they go for it. Like I want to get 8 reps at 225, whatever, but there's not that in the gym industry. Like I need to get my churn to 3% and my MRR at, you know, 33,000 in order to become this level of a gym. Yeah. I'll figure out how to do it. And then they have a very precise pain point that they're solving towards. Right.
That's genius.
We have a line in the sand between our coaching program and our mastermind. And that's based off of what we've seen working with gyms over the last, you know, how many years. Do you have initial layers right now that you say, okay, this is where a lot of the gyms are ending up. This is like the median. What do you know to be true as it is today?
Our numbers will be skewed because we have a free tier on push press. And that automatically like brings, I have 3 members coming to my garage that just need to pay me some money. Right. So our numbers are skewed.
Yeah.
I would say for the gyms that are commercial gyms, these numbers like $15,000 to $18,000 a month are being thrown around. I would corroborate that. Like it's depressingly low.
Okay.
Compared to like their rent is probably 8,000 and they're making 16, right?
Yeah.
That's like, I wouldn't say joke, but like the thing I say to a lot of people is if you don't focus on running a better gym, you're literally like one car accident or one baby that you didn't plan for away from closing.
Yeah. That's tough. And look, man, it pains me because if you look at ProFit and what we stand on, we help gym owners win. Like that's our motto, right? And it's the owner, not the gym. Mm-hmm. Right? And so like that pains me. Yeah. They are one check away or one bad month away from going out of business or even going bankrupt.
Yep.
And we've seen it. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. And ultimately like from our angle, and I'm sure from your angle, like that's what we got to solve because these people are doing their life's work in something that fucking matters, right? Yes. Like every single human being in every community needs fitness. I will go to my grave saying that. Yep.
Agreed.
There should be 10 times more gyms that they are, and they all should be making 10 times more money.
Correct.
So it's like the magnitude, or if you want to look at it the other way, the amount of low hanging fruit that we have to solve is so much. Like we can really raise the tides here if we just put some work into this, and that's kind of like where we're all going.
How many are you allowed to share? How many like gyms are on subscription with you? Like how many do you serve?
3,200-ish.
Yeah. So that's substantial. That's very substantial. So you got over 3,000 gyms you're working with, and if you can get that, I mean, get the data to where they can make real decisions. A lot of it, you know, even in what I use, which is MBO, right? Like that data is hard as hell to figure out. Yeah. In fact, there's identical reports next to each other that have different numbers on them. Like, how is that even possible?
This is what I'm saying. My data is hard because depending on how you define it, right? Like this one's taking, they're annualizing, you know, the monthly of an annual payment, and this one's taking out tax or something. And then all of a sudden the numbers look wrong nothing's trustworthy, right?
Correct.
The other thing too is like, I could put reports all day in front of you. Actually, you'll get them, I'm sure. Yeah. I haven't known you too long, but I know you'll get them. But average person, you put a report. This is the analogy I make. I never followed football. I hadn't followed football for a decade. I joined fantasy football with my push press team because they were like talking shit. And I'm like, I'll bet you I'm going to try to win. You know, we're all competitive, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I won. I got first place.
Oh, nice. Data guy.
My team was called Dartboard because I was just like, I'm going to throw darts at and just pick that way. That's awesome. And I still won. But you know how I won? And I didn't know this before. It's like I would get an email from the NFL or ESPN or whoever the hell we were playing through every week. And it was like, oh, this running back is lined up against this defense. And this defense is notoriously bad when the inside, you know, when they have a tight end who can block, right? And it gave me all this information. I was like, if they put this in front of me in charts and numbers and grids, no, there's no fucking way I could have handled that. But they just told me in plain English, this quarterback has statistically done good against that cornerback. You know, and it's like, how do you get that data, right? Like they figured out. So NFL's had this data forever. They've had the money to do it. This is where data has to go.
Yeah.
Like screw giving you a report. I just want to tell you in a paragraph, like, hey, Jane,
that's pretty important. Yeah.
You know, Jane comes 3 times a week and all of a sudden she's coming 1 time a week. And you know, it looks like from social media activity, she's doing this or, you know, whatever you can cobble together and put in a paragraph to somebody.
Wow.
It's going to be way better. Right. And this is where AI comes in, right? Sure. Like the AI can actually turn the data into something,
into a
any coach can just
layman's
read.
Terms
yes, exactly.
Over here. Yeah, and I love that too because we talk about data all the time. I mean, it's a thing for us, right? That's what we measure. That's what we make decisions off of quite often. But interpreting the data is one thing, and then putting it back into the business, right, is one thing. The reports, again, even at that, just because they're there doesn't mean that you're doing something with it. And to your mission, being able to take those and then say, hey, here's the, you know, let's just say 5 different KPIs that we're measuring. We're putting these in front of you. This is the one you need to go focus on to get to that next level. That's going to be invaluable.
Yeah, focus is important. And here's what challenge you guys probably face is if you guys are working with some clients are on Mind Body, some clients are on Wellness Living, some clients are on whatever, other ABC. Yeah. And then all three of them have different definitions for what MRR means.
Right.
Yeah. And then you're like, hey, give me your MRR. And it's like, you could be looking at all kinds of different things, but you guys can't tell if it's not different. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So to me, that's the number one flaw with a lot of these like industry reports and stuff. It's just like they ask a whole bunch of people for data. All the data comes in from different places. Is it validated? Is it defined? You know, all this stuff matters.
They need a data scientist that's getting the data to be able to validate.
Let me tell you, like when I work with my data guy, sometimes I'm like, hey, give me the MRR. Well, does this mean? Yes. And it's like a million questions. I'm like, dude, bro, just give me the MRR. And he's like, it doesn't count unless it's defined. So let's define it. And it's like 2-hour meeting of defining exactly what this means.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm probably could hang out with that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Nerd out in some numbers.
But then decisions have to be made around that, right? So we found this and it's trending down. How do we fix that and make it go up again? Yeah.
That's the analysis part, right? And the analysis is where, honestly, no gym owner should be good at. Like, if you're good at data analysis, you should be in data.
Is there more money over there?
Quite a bit. You know, but I would not expect any gym owner to be able to look at a graph or a chart or anything and be able to just... like look like an investor can look at that and be like, they can, you know, all the matrix goes on and they're like, oh shit, this is what's happening. But
Rain Man moment.
Yeah, there's no way a gym owner should be able to do that, you know. So like giving them a report doesn't really help, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, so but we are at this inflection where AI and like some of this new data tech will start to be able to turn this into actionable stuff.
Oh, I love this. You mentioned a retention number on visits. You have a graph because you're speaking at a couple of our mutual friends' events, and you know, I said this is the number I heard, and actually that's anecdotal as well, because once we see that number, right, our number is, hey, we got to keep our clients coming more than 8 times a month, and you'd validated that. What did you say?
So we have a churn curve, which is basically it goes from 0 to 30. How many times a month a person comes and what likelihood they're going to churn in the next month based on going back through, you know, 10 years of historical data.
Okay.
And so it's exactly what you would expect. If they come 0 times, it's like 22%. If they come 1 time, it's like 18%, and it goes down. And the exact inflection point that I circle are 8 and 12.
Okay.
Right. 8 gets you at about 5% churn, and 12 gets you to between 2.5 to 3% churn. right?
Nice.
And then from there, it kind of flattens out. Like if someone comes 20 times, there's still two point something percent.
It doesn't change anything really. There's no dramatic difference between 12 plus.
Yeah, the big slope is from 8 to 12. Right?
You know what I love too is you said the next month.
Yeah.
Which is huge because you know what I mean? It's not the next 6 months. It's not like, you know, it's not like one, you know, maybe one off month or something like that. It's, hey, you failed to get them through the door. They're 1 foot out the door already.
Yes. Yep.
And this is a rolling 30. It's got to be a rolling 30 because you won't, if it starts on the first of the month to the end of the month, you're screwed. So it's got to be rolling 30. Like if I'm going to take a snapshot in time of anybody that's in danger right now, it's the past 30 days, no matter what day of the month it is.
Well, the way our data slice is calendar month. So okay. It's like if they came that many time in that calendar month, then what percentage, how many of them quit the next month?
Okay.
Right.
So maybe just throwing this out there for data guy, if you had a list of at-risk members over here and that was based on not calendar, but a rolling 30. So right. Anytime I log in, it's just moving it every day, right? It just changes the start date.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this person's looking like they're falling off. There was a company called iKismet. Mm-hmm. We use them as a plugin into our MindBody software, and they were able to kind of extract a lot of stuff, give me graphs and stuff. And again, I looked at it daily. They were bought out by Club Solutions or Club Ready. And so they stopped servicing MindBody clients.
Fun.
Yeah, so they just like, they're your competitor. So they just basically wiped our membership out. So now I don't have that data anymore. So Zach, you know, you met Zach out in the other room. We created a dashboard and we kind of have even better, I think I have better data now for us.
Should bring it to the market.
I don't even know how he did it. Like he's got these... I mean, it's all built in Google Sheets, but it's like these graphs, like they're called something. I don't know. Anyways, you can click on it and then it brings up a little square and there's all these drop down menus and stuff over here. And then it's so cool.
Is it the triangle like cohort chart?
Oh, I don't know, man. See, I hire people that are a lot smarter than me.
Yeah, that's how smart you are.
Yeah, you too, man. You're bringing the data scientist in. All right. So, you know, you got this data, right? You've got all this stuff. Where do you see PushPress going? Like, where are you trying to attack right now? I think if I'm correct, it's semi-private gyms. Yeah.
We are working our way towards semi-private. The way I look at it is, like you said, CrossFit was our beachhead because I owned a couple CrossFit gyms and everyone I met was in that space.
Mm-hmm.
But fitness is so much bigger. And we were joking around before, like we have a free version. And when we opened that up, we started to see the long tail of fitness, which is like, everyone thinks like, oh, fitness is like, you know, Orange Theory and boot camps and CrossFit and private training gyms and blah, blah. And then it's like, we have mermaid swim schools. We have historical fencing societies. We have gun ranges. We have golf simulators. We're going to get a hobby horse one soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're coming.
A trampoline fitness life.
We probably have trampoline stuff. Yeah. Like there's just so much of it. And my philosophy is like, we have to earn the right to work with other niches.
Yep.
Because every niche is like, to them, it's like in your world, it's super important what you do and how you guys have crafted it is super important. And if like we just come barging in and just like try and do our thing, it doesn't make sense and it doesn't land. You know what I mean?
Well, that happened with ASF. They came to me and were like so excited about their scheduler. And they came, you know, we switched off of MindBody, went to ASF because they sold me on this vision and they fell flat on their ass. And so we had to switch back and they admitted later, hey, we jumped the gun. They just didn't serve our model at all.
Yeah.
They're great at big box, but not in our model.
Yeah.
One of the things I was on your guys' website before, just getting to know a little bit more of the features and benefits and things like that. And there was a testimonial that somebody, a one-liner that was, to me, was awesome because it speaks to who you serve. And it was all of the things that you need as a gym owner, none that a hairdresser does. And to me, it was like,
that was great.
I mean, because for me, if I'm shopping and I'm a gym owner, yes, you can go get in some of these things that are massive global organizations, but how much is that relevant to the business I do every day?
Yeah. And so that's the challenge of our industry because all gyms basically need kind of the same core stuff.
Yeah.
Scheduling, communications, membership management, payment, billing, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then like, I mean, shoot, you guys built your own software to solve the little pain point that makes your secret sauce what it is.
Mm-hmm.
CrossFit has its own. MMA has its own, jiu-jitsu has its own, blah, 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 right? Hobby horse has their own, right? Like, you got to sign somebody the stick. Coming.
I want
to
know the data on the hobby horse.
Turn rate on hobby horse. So the complexity of building the software, and this is where PushPress, this is where the idea of kind of like what we were doing is, you have players who are monolithic, like they've built everything for everyone, as much as including hairdressers, mm-hmm. and the reality where they miss is, we as small business owners don't have time for everything. Like, it's so confusing, so hard to use, so hard to understand. And the common thing I hear from people is when against the big ones is like, I don't use 95% of the stuff. And what they don't realize is 95% of the stuff isn't even made for them, but they feel like I'm getting ripped off because I don't use it. Right?
I can
That's
see
the
that.
Feeling.
And
I
it's a subscription. They're probably paying for, you're paying for 100% of the features, yep. regardless of your usage.
Mm. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have like rock climbing is a good one. So, you know, it's like someone built a really precision rock climbing gym one, probably works really, really good for rock climbing, but the market's so small, they can't invest enough money to build the core stuff really good.
Makes sense.
You know, so it's like there's this Goldilocks problem where it's like either too big or too small. Where we sit is we're trying to build the core stuff really good. And then, you know, you can layer in like the data is part of the core, AI stuff will eventually be part of the core. Like these things every gym needs. And then we're building an app store, which is like, okay, cool. You want to do belt tracking because you're an MMA gym? Turn on the belt tracking app. Yep. Now only that stuff will show up because you know you've turned it on and it's like your iPhone, right? Like you customize it the way you want to go.
Correct.
Smart. Right. And I think that's kind of the future of software in general, is it's got to be flexible. It's got to be Swiss Army knife enough to not be confusing, but also give you everything you need.
Very cool. Yeah. So let's bring up a sore subject. How about that? You want to bring up sore? No, nothing about Swiss Army knives.
What's the sore subject?
3.5% credit card processing fees. Mm. How do you feel about pushing those on to the consumer?
Oh, here we go.
Let me preface this. We did talk about this just before the show, and this is hot topic right now. Yeah. I mean, honestly, and the idea is the gyms out there, and you're seeing it too. Well, this is actually a chatter as of yesterday in my Iron Circle, that the gym owners are looking to push the 3.5% processing fee onto the consumer so that, you know, it becomes a net zero expense on their books. They give them an option to go ACH for zero and let the consumer decide. And how do you feel about that?
I mean, first I'll say I get it. Like, I get why gym owners want to do it. And this is, I mean, from my perspective, this is what it is. Like, I go to the coffee shop, they add 3% to my coffee because I'm using a credit card. I go to, you know, like I go to all these places, I pay for my damn DMV and the DMV is charging me. Like they're doing this now, right? And so I get as a gym owner, you're like, well, why can't we do this too? What I hate is eventually everyone's going to get fatigued by this and it's not customer friendly. Mm-hmm. And everything that I believe in, the way I built my business, is customer obsession, customer first, customer value.
Okay.
Right. And this is basically just passing my problem to the customer.
Correct.
Yeah. So if I have 200 customers, I'm creating 200 additional pricks on people, not one, two, you know, one little per slices. Person per month,
yeah.
One per person per month. Right. So every time you're charged, you got to see this fee that you're paying. That's extra. Personally, I would rather make my gym a little bit better and raise rates by 5%,
yep.
You know,
and absorb it. And
yeah. Like
in a different way.
Yeah.
Then you can have what I feel like is happening is gym owners don't want to be the bad guy. Mm. Don't want to say like, hey, we have to raise rates, and they don't understand how to have that conversation. Maybe they haven't built the value in. And so they're going to be like, hey, man, this credit card company, you know, like not my deal. Yeah,
they're the bad guy.
And I get it. It's the easy answer. But I mean, if I was to run a gym, I would say like, nope, this gym is fucking amazing. We built the best gym in the experience. We're here for you. My coaches need raises because they are great coaches. And, you know, whatever the value prop is, and we're going up 5%, 10%, whatever it is. If you don't like it, you know, there's another gym down the street. You know, and what I found is if you take that attitude, people are like, nope, I want to be at this gym because this is the best.
Sure.
And who you actually will filter out are those kind of like the clients that you kind of don't want anyways. You know, it's like the people that complain the most.
And exactly. Those that are weighing 3% passed on to them as the problem because they see it, right?
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot, right? And it's quite often we're faced in business, you're faced with decisions you don't want to have to make,
mm-hmm.
You know, coming out of the pandemic, right? Cost of doing business went up, skyrocketed. But how do we as a business owner pass that on to the consumer so that we're not taking a 30% hit in revenue at the end of the year? everything has to be painted in the benefit of the client, right? Mm-hmm. And you can have that conversation. And I agree. I like the way that you've went about it as opposed to just passing the buck and making somebody else a bad guy. Because at the end of the day, there is other things, right? It, like you said, I'd rather raise by 5%. Okay, well, 3% is transaction fees. The other 2% goes to my salaries or goes to maintenance on the equipment, goes to some other benefit that the client's going to see, feel, and experience. And now it's a win, even though it started as a loss.
I mean, here's how you can phrase it is I like playing long-term games. And passing the fee is a short-term game.
I agree.
It's a short-term solution because next year your prices are going to go up again. And then what are you going to do? You can't raise the pass a fee. You know what I mean? Like you've got to learn how to build the muscle to build value, have that that conversation with customers and raise your rates. Bottom line, you know, end of line, or else you're toast as a gym owner 5 years from now. Eventually, you know, it's going to catch up.
Yeah, that was the argument in IC because we had half, it was split, right? Some people are like, oh my God, I like that idea. And the other one's like, I hate that idea. And here's why, you know, so it's the same thing. I've always just assumed that's my problem as the owner.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not cost of doing business.
That's exactly the words I use. Guys, this is a cost of doing business. We get the right to take Amex and what all of these things are. And yeah, we don't get all of the money in, but you know what? Our rates are going to be high enough to that. That's going to be negligible anyway. So That's a tough one. And well, then, yeah, go ahead.
Well, just to speak to that, I think that's actually a good connection between the customer experience and overanalyzing data, or our data could almost hurt you in a way, right? If you're just using the math as the only thing that you're considering and you're just like, oh, well, it's a simple answer here, just pass it on. And you're not looking at the effects of what that transaction is doing.
Consumer's going to be pissed.
Exactly.
So here's the thing. When you were saying that is like, you know, the coffee shop and the DMV and all these people, the thing that came to my mind was Amazon. Amazon is the free shipping thing. But before there was all these other companies that charged for shipping. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that gave it to you for free. So freaking they blew up, right? And obviously,
I fucking love it. I've studied Amazon. We could do a whole podcast on that. Yeah.
Okay.
So Amazon's whole model is about lowering prices.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like create enough value where the network effects kick in and you can lower price. So this can't happen in a gym because we don't have big enough businesses. But the way I see it is the other way around. Like you have to be so laser focused on increasing value every month or every year so that you can always go, like, as long as the value to price ratio is 3, you know, like if I feel like I'm getting $600 worth of value and you're charging me 200, it's cool.
Yeah. All day. You're staying.
Yeah. So you just have to like kind of prove to them why you're getting $600 worth of like 3X value, right? That's kind of the minimum. People 3X. Will always pay 3X what they feel they're getting comfortably, you know, easily.
And I mean, look at, there's the other end of the spectrum too. Right now, a company like Prime. They're like, or you know, Amazon's Prime service. Now they're adding advertisements unless you pay more. So in a way that they're actually passing the buck, but they're making it known. And I guarantee most people are going to move to they're going to stay with the same version, but they're going to accept the ads.
But do you know why? Because like, how much would you pay for? I had this conversation with somebody yesterday. If they raised their rates to $500 today, I would pay it.
For Prime?
For Prime.
As a service? Oh, absolutely.
Because you think it's worth $1,500.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's worth so, like, you get fast shipping, you get TV, you get, like, there's so many add-ons to music. Like, so much stuff that they've layered into it where, like, now they can actually tighten the wrench on it and say, okay, well, you're either going to pay more or you're going to add on ways that we can make money on it, right?
Yeah, very cool. So.
Hey, Tim Lyons here. Look, I know running a gym day in and day out can be a challenge. It's often hectic and stressful, but remember, you are not alone. And if you ever feel weighed down by the pressure and you're searching for a lifeline, we've got just the thing. I would love to invite you to our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator program at winninggym.com/grow. Listen, it's designed to give you tangible results. It transforms your struggle into sustainable growth, and it is a game changer for so many gym owners out there. Again, that's winninggym.com/grow. Check it out, and let's turn those day-to-day challenges into triumphs. All right, now let's get back to the show.
All right, last thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about churn because you have a passion of churn. Like this is like something you study, not only for push press because you want to keep your churn low there, but also in gyms. Like so... You do whole talks on churn and how to get clients coming to the gym and reducing the churn. So give us your 5-minute view on churn and how to solve that problem. Cause that's, Massive.
Yeah. I mean, again, it goes back to customer obsession. And I do think a lot of gym owners get so caught up in the day-to-day operations and the fires that are going on and the whatever things are going on that they lose sight of their, or the shiny objects that are the pass-the-fee things that are coming up where they're just, I mean, dude, if you spend an hour even thinking about pass-the-fee, it's an hour you're not spending on your customers. And to me, that's like the
point. Pass-the-fees.
You know? So yeah. It's all about customer obsession, and churn will naturally come down if your customers truly feel like you care about them.
Okay.
Right. So, and there's some hacks that I figured out, like that I profess that you should do. So obviously getting people to come to gym, easy one. And a lot of things in business are simpler than we make them. If you literally just went to all your members and say like, see you tomorrow, like more people show up. Like they feel like you want them to come to the gym, they come to the gym, right? It's just.
I said I would be there.
I said I'd be there. It's an obligation. I said I'd see you tomorrow. And if I don't, that's on me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, how dumbly simple is that, right? So it's like, yeah, just dude, walk the floor.
Give us like five more of those.
Okay. So here's another one that I found. And I've actually built I'm a coder, so I can't stop coding sometimes. And like last Christmas break, my family came in. I was like, went to Starbucks cause I need to get away for a bit, coded some stuff. So I built a system called Gym Happy.
Oh, okay.
And all it does is like when someone checks in, it randomly picks some people and it's like, hey, this is coach. It actually uses AI. I wanted to mess with AI. So it uses AI to like formulate the thing unique. And it's like, hey, Tim, this is Dan. Hope you like my class. Can you like leave me a rating so I know, how it went.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so what I found is when people actually express that they're happy, they don't churn. Right. Like, oh, wow. Magic. Right. Like if you can actually make someone say like, hey, I love this gym. I love this coach.
They've admitted it.
They've put it in the universe. They've said it to themselves. It's in concrete now.
Gym happy.
Yeah.
Well done.
So that's another one. Just like
that's built into the PushPress software.
Yeah. It's part of, it's like an add on to like,
plug-in.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a similar thing, but like the hack is this, like you can just walk around the gym. Same thing. Hey, tell me what you love about the gym.
Going that way.
You know what I mean? Cause like, as long as they're telling you what they love, like they're cementing to themselves that they love the gym.
They love it.
Right?
Okay.
And I like how it's seated in a positive frame.
Yeah.
You're not asking them, hey, so what about today sucked?
Yeah.
You're not getting them to think about all the problems. You're encouraging them to go, okay, what do I really enjoy about this?
What have we done for you? Yeah. What have you gotten here? Right. Like, I think on another conversation, you should say, what could we improve?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. But you want to make sure you're literally making them say, oh dude, I wasn't able to do a 24-inch box jump when I got here and now I can. And I feel so much fitter and my kids love playing with me. Like, who would quit at that point, right?
Well, I'll tell you who would quit. A lot of people. Well, here's the scoop. Yeah, I totally agree with all of that, you know, but I also think at some point, if you don't fit into the consumer's day, if it's a, if it's a burden, if you have a transactional style gym, as soon as it doesn't work out for them, they're gone. And it sucks because you could have a raving fan. Like we've just literally had three clients cancel that I'm asking Zach, like what, we just saw them last week and we've decided that we did everything we could. And they say, we love you. And they gave us 5-star reviews, but I'm going to try this now. And we're like, well, that's very transactional. If it doesn't fit into their day today, they're gone.
Yeah. There's many angles to churn. And I do think, I haven't come up with a term for this yet, but our biggest gym is in the Kansas suburbs.
Okay.
You wouldn't think it would be, but what they've done is they basically kind of built six different fitness modalities into one. There's yoga, CrossFit.
I've seen these models.
Yeah. And so I asked him, I'm like, why, like, tell me about what's going on here. And he's like, oh, they just churn from one thing to the other. Instead of leaving my gym,
they move into the next solution. Yeah. So that's not really an ascension ladder.
It's almost like laterally.
So lateral.
I think there's a big, and maybe ClassPass seeded this in people, but there's a big swath of people who are like, oh, I'm going to do Orange for 3 months. I'm going to rock climb for 3 months. I'm going to go. Like they dabble.
Tons of those people.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And we want them to stay with us forever. But like if we're being honest, people get bored. And the other thing is if you get results for somebody, you would think that they would stay with you for a lifetime. Their pain's gone and they're moving on to the next thing. So is the better you are,
yeah,
it also affects you negatively.
Come back if you're solving their problems.
I agree.
I think there's some way you can seed it. Like one thing I've been trying to tell gym owners is like, hey, fitness is a lifestyle. You come to my gym 3 times a week and you go do rock climbing two or three times a week. Do both, right? Sure. You don't have to do one or the other, because I help you get stronger. You can climb higher and better, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, ski, snowboard, whatever. Like, you should be using your fitness. And if some people think it's, I have to do one or the other, you know?
Well, budgetary maybe, but yeah, I agree. It's like, if you're doing this, you can't do that. We have clients that, I mean, golly, they all have Pelotons. They still do. And they have treadmills at home. They come here and strength train. They go there. They do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
They golf half the day, you know, especially out here. They're golfing all day. So I don't know. We can't be the only place that, I mean, just think that we're going to be the only place they go to. So.
Some level of churn is acceptable and okay.
And let's talk about those numbers. Like, what are you seeing on average? I know you don't have in front of you. Like, what's the average churn?
So average churn is like, we'll just call it 9%, 8.7 to 9%.
Define churn. Let's define that.
Okay. So if in our system, a churn would be a monthly recurring member who is on a recurring payment, who quits the next, who cancels their payment the next month.
And so that 8% is a month over, or 9% is a month over.
Month over month.
Month over month over month over month. So you're losing 9% of your base every month.
So, you know, if you, I guess, did the math on that, because it's a rule of 72. So why, you know, eight months roughly would be 100% turnover.
Yeah.
Of your whole business.
Of your whole business.
Well,
which
I mean,
to me is mind blowing. Like, that's crazy.
And the other half of the coin is you have to earn 9 new clients at least every month
for
100 members.
Okay. That's for every 100. So the 9%, I guess the next question would be is, if you took, I don't know, what's the average gym have in member number?
This one varies so wildly again, because we have free. So if you're like at a 15, 16,000, it's probably about 80. For in the CrossFit world that we look at.
Okay. Yeah. And so they're losing what, nine
members a month?
Yeah, nine.
Or eight.
7.2.
Yeah. I can't do math on math in public. Don't do it.
He just gave out, don't do it on a podcast live. Yeah. That's a
math in public.
We always do it.
We do it to ourselves all the time.
What is that? We're like doing the calculations. And all right, hold on. Let me just get the calculator.
Like, we just said 9 was 100, and I'm like, 9?
Yeah. 7.2.
It's 20% less.
So they're having to replace 7 members a month. So are you seeing, do you know what the new signups per month
that
is?
That I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I do know a powerful way, like I learned from another, maybe you guys do this too, another coaching platform.
Sure.
Is they think in terms of plus minus. So if you start negative 7, let's call it, then you know you have to hit 7 to be 0. Right.
Essentially a delta.
Yeah. So you think of delta. So their thing is, like, as they're working with clients, they're like, we're going for plus 2 or plus 5, depending on the month and, you know, like what they're doing.
Yep.
Oh, shoot, it's a plus 7 month. We got to run some ads. You know, like, we got to do some stuff here.
You mean it's a minus 7 month?
Well, no. If their goal is to be a plus 7, which means they got to go 14. Right.
Oh, gotcha.
So they think in terms of, like, it's not in terms of anything except you're going to be a plus X this month. And that way it frames them to be like, okay, I need to get five people on top of the 7 I'm losing.
Yep.
I start in the hole, right?
Yeah.
So
that, well, it's pretty much the same thing we discuss.
Yeah.
What an easy industry we're in. Jeez Louise, you know what I mean?
But that's the crazy thing is, like, every human being on earth needs fitness. Like, this should be easier than it is. And that's the hard thing for me to swallow.
Well, here's all you need to know. Fitness is... people don't want what we're selling. They're in love with the romantic idea of being in shape. They don't want the product that gets them there, because there's work involved. There's soreness involved. There's delayed gratification involved. There's discipline involved.
How do you feel about, like, I feel, maybe this is my echo chamber, but on my social medias, I feel like there's this huge push towards, like, do difficult things. You know, be in discomfort, right? Like, all these concepts.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a hot topic as of the last, I don't know, cold 2 plunges. Years, 3 years. Yeah.
It's building resiliency and being able to overcome.
Do you think the general public is seeing this, or is it in our social media echo chambers?
I sure hope so. That would be amazing, because then they'd be more willing to
try. That's the first step, right?
Well, we'll know when we see that. What's the global number? 84% of the nation's never had a gym membership?
It's 20 now. It's gone up. Yep. Ursa's numbers have said 20% of Americans belong to a fitness.
So now we're up to 80%.
Yeah. It grew from 16. So that's good.
That's good. That would speak to...
We currently have a gym membership.
Yep. 20%.
Okay. Have ever, I think it is.
But it also means 80% don't.
That's crazy.
Isn't that... that's mind-blowing.
100% of my friends have.
What we do, what we provide.
And that includes like a $10 Planet Fitness membership too,
correct.
Right? Like,
yep.
80% of people that don't even spend $10 a month.
Correct.
Maybe, and that could be, I mean, hell, we've seen that over the last few years, and if that number has changed, it could be just the fact that they've lowered the threshold for fitness to $9.99 for a gym membership, right? So maybe that much more people have been exposed to you know, what we provide and what we offer.
But it also means 80% of the public is not working out. They're not into fitness. They're just living life.
It's opportunity.
Yeah,
we see it the other way around. Yeah, like there's a big market out there. I mean, maybe hopefully people are seeing the do hard stuff.
That's what I would hope. That's what I would hope. And they would lean into fitness as one of those hard things to do. I'm in. Yeah. Count me in on that deal.
Let's put some more social medias out there.
Awesome, Dan. Yes, all the social medias. Well, Dan, thanks for flying in specifically for this podcast. Yeah. And now you're heading home right now. it was great having you. It was it's great to get a different insight and another view. We probably do 50 to 1 where we have a guest. Like, it'll just be me and him. So having a guest is awesome. It's a good change of pace. Yeah, our I guess, model is just me and him.
Rap.
Yeah, but we do have that third mic for a reason. So there you go. You get
you're
to use
getting ROI on this third mic and camera here.
Yes, there you go. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you. It was fun.
All right. All right, that's it for this episode, guys. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye.
All right, and thank you for listening to that episode of the Built to Grow podcast, where we help gym owners win. Now, do you want to connect with me and other gym owners online? All you need to do is join our private Facebook group, Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. Just head on over to Facebook and type in Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. And when you do, we're going to give you our 10 marketing strategies 7-figure gym owners use to win. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, keep building something great.